Good morning, I'm Steve Miller, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine. Yesterday, Boulder County became the first county in the United States to call upon insurance companies to stop insuring and investing in fossil fuels. We'll get a report. After that, we'll hear about conversion therapy, which has been banned for minors in Colorado and which is widely regarded as damaging for the LGBTQ community. There will be a community conversation on this tonight in Longmont. Then we'll hear about the La Chicana program taking place at History Colorado. Fiona Foster will be your host on Connections this morning at 8:30. The topic of today's show is menstrual equity. We'll hear from local organizations that are working to provide access to menstrual products for homeless, low-income, and student populations. But first, the latest local headlines. A national civil rights leader paid a visit to Boulder County on Wednesday to speak about the need to be counted in the upcoming census. Rosanna Longo has more.
Dolores Huerta was in Longmont to speak to local nonprofits who are working hard to get people to participate in 2020 census. Huerta says that people who can vote this year should vote, but everyone should be counted in the census.
Well, I think we have to do both things. We have to be counted in the census, and especially a lot of us who may not yet be citizens. We may be legal residents, green carders, or we may be unauthorized, as como se dice, or undocumented, but that doesn't make any difference. You still need the services that we bring with the census. You still need the money for schools, for your children, the money for health care, for community clinics, for good roads and good parks, and all of that infrastructure that we need. So whether you're a citizen, a resident alien, a green carder, tarjeta verde, or undocumented, you have to be counted in the census. And there will not be a citizenship question on the census. So you don't have to say whether you're a citizen or not. It doesn't make any difference. You are a person that needs to get counted. And just by you participating in that census, you will bring in the money that we need. And the money that we get is actually our money. It's the money that people pay in taxes when they buy things. It's the money that we pay in our income taxes. So that money is there waiting for you.
It is estimated that each person who's counted will account for $23,000 in federal funding for the community over the next 10 years. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.
The Longmont Police and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation warn that Valentine's Day could be an ideal time for romance scammers to strike. The Daily Camera reports that according to Longmont Police Sergeant Matt Cage, there is a number of sweetheart scams involving fraudulent online dating profiles. He said that scams happen throughout the year with about one every 2 months, but Valentine's Day may have criminals using dating websites, Instagram, or websites for people looking for a relationship outside of the country. What to look out for is the person if the person starts asking for money before they have even met you face to face. A common storyline is that the person's bank account is frozen because they are overseas and they need money for a plane ticket to come and visit the victim. Other scams may have people getting a cold call from someone claiming to be the Internal Revenue Service or another government agency. If people feel they are involved in a scam, they should call the police department's non-emergency line to report the crime. More advisory tips are at the Longmont Police Department's Facebook page or the CBI's website. Lawmakers at the state capitol on Thursday heard testimony for a handful of Republican-led bills aimed at rolling back protections for the LGBTQ+ community. The bills include Colorado Natural Marriage and Adoption Act, which declares that existing Colorado law defining marriage as between one man and one woman should be enforced as written. Lucy Haggard has more.
While none of the bills are expected to pass out of the so-called kill committee, led by Democrats, the Colorado Sun reports that the attempts could signal an ideological divide within the Republican Party. Some of the bills have garnered more support than others, but multiple senators refused to comment on them to The Sun at all. Loveland Republican Hugh McKean told The Sun that he opposes the laws because they would entail the government telling individuals how to live their lives. Other senators noted that the bills distracted from the party's goals and could hurt their public image. Governor Jared Polis noted in a statement that he would veto any anti-LGBTQ plus bills should they end up on his desk, but the likelihood of that is slim given that Democrats control both the House and the Senate. Groups like One Colorado have also declared their opposition to the bills. One Colorado Executive Director Daniel Ramos told the Colorado Sun that while this set of anti-LGBTQ plus bills is the most aggressive he's seen in many years, he considers Republicans at large as allies in the fight for equality. Last year's legislative session passed bills to outlaw so-called gay conversion therapy and to make it easier for transgender folks to change their gender on legal documents. Both of those bills were led by Democrats and included Republican support. For KGNU, I'm Lucy Haggard.
More on that story. After more than 13 hours of testimony, those bills were defeated early this morning. And in today's weather, sunny and breezy with a high of 50. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, low of 26. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 42. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low of 28. And then Sunday, slight chance of rain, a high of 50. Yesterday, Boulder County Commissioners passed a resolution making the county the first in the country to call upon insurance companies to stop insuring and investing in fossil fuels. Rosanna Longo has more.
While none of the bills are expected,
the resolution states that the county is taking this action to urge insurance industry companies to divest from fossil fuels industries and end the underwriting of activities in further the action of extraction or the use of fossil fuels, and to establish divestment as a determining factor in making insurance carriers' decisions.
Good morning, Commissioners. Barb Halpin from the County Commissioner's Office. I'm here on behalf of the policy team today, who has put together this proclamation at your request. I can read the title, and if you'd like, I can read the full proclamation or just skip to what you actually proclaim, whichever is your choice. I will do that. Okay, it starts off. Proclamation urging insurance industry companies to divest from fossil fuel industries and the underwriting of activities in furtherance of the extraction or use of fossil fuels and establishing divestment as a determining factor in making insurance carrier decisions. And it starts off, whereas in April 2016, world leaders from 175 countries recognized the threat of climate change and the urgent need to combat it by signing the Paris Agreement, agreeing to keep warming well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels and to pursue efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 Celsius, and whereas the harm already caused by global warming of approximately 1 degree Celsius demonstrates that the Earth is already too hot, as shown by increased and intensifying wildfires, floods, rising seas, diseases, droughts, and extreme weather. And whereas in Boulder County, these impacts are already manifesting themselves in the form of wildfires burning twice as much acreage now as they did in 1980, more frequent and more severe flooding, such as devastating Front Range flood of 2013, and an increase in the number of summer days that will reach temperatures of over 95 degrees Fahrenheit from an average of 5 between 1970 to 1999 to as many as 75 by the end of the 21st century. And whereas the burning of fossil fuels is contributing to a staggering health crisis, which experts estimate leads to over 13,000 premature deaths, 200,000 asthma attacks, and more than $100 billion in health care costs each year in the United States alone. And whereas the fossil fuels industries are significant contributors to the acceleration of climate change, and whereas the provision of insurance coverage, insurance companies are enabling the construction and operation of carbon-intensive fossil fuel infrastructure projects such as coal-fired power plants, natural gas drilling and pipeline infrastructure, and tar sands mines and pipelines. And whereas insurance companies invest customers' premiums in fossil fuel companies, with the 40 largest United States insurers holding a combined investment of over $450 billion in the coal, oil, gas, and electric utility sectors. And whereas, as an alternative to polluting and expensive fossil fuel energy sources, renewable energy is clean, affordable, and readily available. Various forecasts predict a 50% increase in global renewable energy capacity between 2019 to 2024, with 75 to 80% of the new renewable energy supply being brought online in 2020, generating electricity at a lower cost than fossil fuels. And whereas on May 2nd, 2018, the City of Paris approved a resolution calling for insurers to cease any support of the coal industry, heralding a new front in the ongoing movement for divestment from fossil fuels, with the City of San Francisco following suit on July 24, 2018. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Boulder County Commissioners calls on the insurance industry to take action against pollution and climate change by ending their underwriting of fossil fuel projects and companies. And be it further proclaimed that the Board of Boulder County Commissioners will screen potential insurers for investments in and underwriting of companies or projects perpetuating the extraction and use of fossil fuels, and will utilize this information as a determining factor in making decisions regarding which insurance companies with whom to do business.
Commissioner Alice Jones says that this is a historic move for Boulder County.
Insurance companies are really the next frontier in terms of divestment from fossil fuels, and Boulder County is one of the first jurisdictions to take a stand saying we are not interested in investing in companies who are investing in fossil fuels, given the direct costs that we're paying for the climate change crisis, the costs in terms of financial outlays for extreme weather events, similar to the 2013 floods that we're still paying for, cost in terms of public health impacts to the citizens we represent, and the impacts of climate change that are going to be increasingly felt across Colorado and that we're already experiencing in terms of drought, wildfire danger, heat waves, and you name it. And it's important that we put our money where our mouths are and really make sure that we're investing in solutions, not the problems associated with climate change. And that means investing in clean energy. So we're interested in helping the insurance company become better actors and better players and having them invest in the solutions that will be better for Boulder County, for Colorado, and for the planet.
This is a historic moment, and it is a moment also to reflect of if Boulder County is doing this and it's moving forward, do you think somebody, you know, others will follow?
I think it's frequently the role that Boulder County plays is to pioneer new ideas, new projects, new ways of doing business that then other cities and counties and even states can pick up and run with. And we're certainly hopeful that our action today with encouraging insurance companies to do the right thing on climate will be something that has a widespread ripple effect going forward.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.
This evening in Longmont, there will be a forum, "The Greatest of These Love is Love, Healing from Conversion Therapy, a Community Conversation." Family members of a young woman who died recently by suicide, who had been subjected to conversion therapy, will be speaking at the event. Maeve Conran spoke to Toby Cahill, the president of PFLAG Boulder County, the organization that is hosting the event.
Conversion therapy, in its simplest fraction, or so-called conversion therapy at its simplest practice, is just to change someone's same-sex attraction, or to change their sexual orientation or their gender identity from LGBT to one of heterosexual or heteronormative.
How widespread a practice is this? Where are we seeing it happening?
Well, it is still happening, much to my dismay, in, you know, all across the country. There are only 19 states that have banned it, including Colorado. So, you know, there are still, 30-plus states out there that practice conversion therapy and don't have laws in place to stop that from happening to our kids. So it's banned in 19 states, but we still have a long way to go to ban it in every state.
Now, it's been widely discredited, and certainly by organizations that deal with mental health. And there have been many people who have spoken out about the mental health implications of having gone through conversion therapy. And really, I suppose, to underline that, as part of this conversation that's going to be happening on Friday evening, you're going to hear from the family members of Alana Chen. Tell us her story and why that really underscores the concerns being raised by so many people about conversion therapy.
Well, so I can't actually share her story. That's a story for her family to share. But from what all of us have access to in the media, she did do an interview last year, right around the time that the conversion therapy ban for Colorado took place, talking about the conversion therapy that she had undergone through her her Catholic Church. And so what we do know is that, you know, the practice of so-called conversion therapy and other sexual orientation and gender identity change efforts has been discredited by every major mainstream medical and mental health organization in the U.S. They know that being LGBTQ is not a mental illness, and so there's nothing to treat. So really, without, you know, any further evidence, there's really not any way possible to convert or change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Given that Colorado was one of the few states that has passed some type of legislation trying to tackle conversion therapy and outlaw it, certainly at least for minors, I mean, what are you hoping to achieve from Friday night's event? What do you really want the community to understand?
Yeah, I think what we really want the community to understand is that this is still an issue. The people in Boulder County and in Colorado depend on the law to protect them from harm. And without a law to ban dangerous and discredited practices to convert or change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, well-meaning but misinformed parents and caregivers of LGBTQ youth have been enrolling their children in what is called junk science therapies. And junk science is not safe for my child or for any child in Boulder County of any age.
It seems as well every legislative session there seems to be efforts to roll back some of the progress that has been made, and we've certainly been reporting on some of the legislation that is being debated and largely rejected by many state lawmakers around this. And how do you think we're doing in Colorado when it comes to LGBTQ rights, and particularly when it comes to young people and having them be valued as part of our community and our society? How do you think we're doing overall as a state?
Well, I think that we have a long way to go. I mean, right now at the state legislature, there are six bills today as we are speaking on the phone. Folks are at the Capitol talking out about six different bills that roll back LGBTQ rights. And that's happening right now. And so I think that we do have a long way to go. And, you know, but Colorado is, you know, is out there. I think that, you know, we have practices in place to help. But I feel like, you know, we need to take it a step further. Conversion therapy, the conversion therapy ban from last year, it has a religious exemption, for example. So if you are a member of a church and your clergy, you know, tells your parents that they think you should be enrolled in conversion therapy, there are still places where that can happen in the country. There are still churches that, you know, that still believe that the heteronormative practice is really what God would want a man and a woman to get married and procreate. So I feel like, you know, we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
Well, the greatest of these is love event is happening in Longmont on Friday evening for Valentine's Day. And for people who want to know how they can support family members, loved ones, if they are members of the LGBTQ community, I know that PFLAG does a lot of work with families in trying to educate them on the best ways to give support. So what are some of the resources that are out there?
Well, so I think just getting involved in local organizations like PFLAG is one way. Just a lot of people are just misinformed, parents and allies alike. And so I think the more you know, the better equipped you are to be an ally and to stand up against this harmful practice. You could come to the event. There will be a resource sheet. You can learn about open and affirming and reconciling churches. There are a number of churches in Boulder County that accept LGBTQ people, promote them, love them, and have, you know, no problem with them being LGBTQ in their church. There's a difference between saying someone is welcome at a church and someone is celebrated for who they are at a church. And so I would say, you know, come to the program and learn about what a real welcoming and open and affirming church looks like. There are books and movies that you could also read. Let's see, I would say Boy Erased would be a good book and a movie, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, Prayers for Bobby, and then there's a great book called Unclobber that I would recommend, and then also a local artist by the name of Amber Cantorna, whose dad was an executive for Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. She just wrote a book about LGBTQ and Christianity. Unashamed, a coming out guide for LGBTQ Christians.
Well, Toby Cahill is the president of PFLAG Boulder County, and they are hosting The Greatest of These is Love, Healing from Conversion Therapy, a Community Conversation. It is on Friday, February 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the United Church of Christ, and that is in Longmont. Toby, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Maeve.
History Colorado has a year-long program dedicated to honoring the history of Chicano activists. Maeve Conran has more.
History Colorado has partnered with El Movimiento Community Advisory Committee for the Year of La Chicana. The museum is working with communities to connect the core issues of the Chicana movement with present-day issues of social justice, identity, and inclusion. But they're also making sure that the stories and voices of women activists are highlighted. Marisa Volpe and Lucia Martinez de Luna with History Colorado.
In any social movement, there's always kind of one leader that tends to get all of the recognition and the attention. But especially in the Chicano movement, women were instrumental. They were, from the very, very beginning, some of them were founders of, for example, the Crusade for Justice. And they are rarely recognized. And, you know, another excellent example is Dolores Huerta with the United Farm Workers. And finally, she's also really getting recognized as well. But that we're also striving to do that in Colorado because there are so many women that were just instrumental in making this happen. And so we're giving them the voice, but also, as you said, we have been very much underrepresented in cultural institutions, and I consider History Colorado at the forefront of really making a difference and really changing that here in Colorado. They're finally listening to us. They're giving us a voice, and it's very exciting to see what's happening. Yes, we want to give all of our Latino community a voice at this institution.
Could either of you, Lucia or Marisa, talk about how and why and the need to have community involvement when you're doing this kind of programming?
Well, that is really the difficulty we've always had because for many, many years, as you know, we didn't feel welcome in a lot of these institutions, not even walking into the front door. So now there is this there's this acknowledgement that has happened in the past, and really the fact is, you know, we are part of this community and we always have been, and we just really, really need to recognize that, and they are recognizing it. But having the community feel like they are welcome and that they can walk into the front door is it seems ridiculous, but it's monumental for us, especially here in Colorado. So I just wanted to kind of point that out, and Marisa can elaborate more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's essential, Maeve. I think History Colorado is, and people may not realize, it's a state institution. It forms part of the Department of Education. Some people refer to us as the state's memory. And so when we think about whose state memory is that, you know, how are we really thinking about a wide range of communities? I am always touched thinking about how our state received its name. Colorado is from a quote that says, "El estado fue nombrado por ver esas montañas coloradas." The state was named upon seeing these colorful, reddish, ruddy mountains. The word Colorado is a Spanish word. And so if we're not thinking about this range of our history, we're really not doing a justice to our past and our future. So this is also, I would say, a movement within the museum field. From its themes of it's called decolonizing the museum, recognizing the colonizer sort of perspective and how museums have been done for so long, and moving intentionally away from that, thinking really how can we be of and by and for the communities we are in. And so this is really just an imperative within the field that we've got to not only be thinking about being welcoming and inclusive, but even how we're doing our work has got to change, a philosophical change in that we're no longer the sages, right, and or the academics who have all and tell what people's history is, but we are listening and we are co-creating and we are going with, because we'll go further when we go with together, is my thinking.